This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call recently announced he will defend an EPA decision to exempt parts of the Milwaukee area from stricter air quality regulations. The Attorney General will be siding with the Trump administration and former Governor Scott Walker in defending the exemption, which contends much of the area's air pollution is caused by Illinois and Indiana.
At the center of the issue is the problem of smog and ground-level ozone, a mixture of gases and air pollution that can have a dramatic impact on a person's health. Jonathan Call is a professor of atmospheric science at UWM, and he joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about smog, ozone, and air quality, and how they all impact our health and our environment.
Ozone is a colorless, invisible gas. The same gas generally appears in a couple of different places in the atmosphere. One is up in the stratosphere, about 30 or 40 kilometers up. And up there, it basically is a good thing. It filters out ultraviolet radiation from the sun, sort of like your UV-protected sunglasses do. And we earthlings receive less of it because of the ozone, and it's a good thing up there. The same gas, however, also occurs near ground level, and there it's a bad thing. It's considered an air pollutant. It is irritating to the respiratory system and other aspects of human health when it's breathed, and it's a particular problem for at-risk groups of the population like babies and elderly and also people with respiratory issues. It's the same gas, but It's disconnected. The ground-level ozone has nothing to do with the stratospheric ozone up high, and the sources are different. The sources for the good stuff up high are natural, whereas down low, near the ground, it's pollutant, and the sources are other types of air pollution that combine chemically to produce the ozone.
So when we're talking about ozone that is at the ground level, can we use the term smog interchangeably? Is that the same thing, or is smog separate?
Ozone is generally included in smog. Smog is a non-specific term, really. It's taken to mean generally polluted air. Typically, smog has a color, a brownish color associated with it. That color is caused by nitrogen oxides, which are not ozone. And in Denver, for example, their smog problem is called the brown cloud because of that color. They also have an ozone problem, but the ozone is colorless. Originally, the term was a made-up term, a combination of smoke and fog, and that was relevant to London air pollution, where the term was born. But now it's kind of an unfortunate term because it's just not very informative. It basically means what we call photochemical air pollution, which is air pollution that is not emitted directly into the atmosphere, but rather it is formed through chemical reactions involving sunlight, hence the photo part, photochemical reactions involving precursor emissions, things like nitrogen oxides and hydrocarbons and sulfur dioxide.
So we're talking about things that have a lot of non-natural sources. When we look at ozone, what tends to be the source of those gases?
Well, the principal precursor gases that react together with sunlight to form ozone are nitrogen oxides and reactive hydrocarbons. And nitrogen oxides are emitted into the atmosphere from industrial processes like smokestacks, also from vehicular emissions, cars and trucks and boats and things like that. And the reactive hydrocarbons are, those also have a number of sources, but one of the most important is volatilization or evaporation of certain liquids like gasoline and industrial cleaning solvents and things like that. Those liquids evaporate readily, and so that stuff gets into the air, you can probably smell the hydrocarbons when you're gassing up your car at the gas station because the little bit of the few drops that, you know, end up getting dropped out, they'll evaporate and you get that smell.
So how much has our ozone levels on the ground, how much has that changed in, let's say, the last 100 years?
Well, over the last 100 years, pre-industrial period and pre-lots and lots of cars, as far as I know, there wasn't an ozone problem. I mean, of course, we don't have measurements back then, but there's no reason for there to have been an ozone problem back then. But with the advent of automobiles, there is. And so ozone in cities had gotten pretty bad up through the 50s and into the 60s when the U.S. government passed the Clean Air Act, and that required states to impose controls on air pollutants, including ozone and also its precursor emissions. So since then, since the 60s, it's gotten better, but it'll never go away entirely.
You know, the EPA recently came under fire for its regulation. Specifically, it decided to exempt certain areas of Milwaukee, Racine County, where Foxconn is going to be, from more strict federal regulations regarding these kinds of chemicals in the air. To just take kind of a step back, right now, what do federal regulations of smog or ozone look like?
There's really two parts to it. One is that at the federal level, there's something called the National Ambient Air Quality Standards. And those standards are in place for a small number of pollutants. They're called criteria pollutants, which include ozone and nitrogen oxides. So that's one part of it. The other part is that the individual states have the responsibility to enforce the National Ambient Air Quality Standards. And they do that in a variety of ways. Every state has an organization like, in Wisconsin, it's the Department of Natural Resources, DNR. Every state has an organization like that. And that's the state body that is charged with the responsibility of maintaining the air quality standards. So sometimes they do things like public awareness programs. In Wisconsin, it used to be called Ozone Action Days. Now they call it Air Quality Advisories, when the meteorological conditions are such that they're conducive, the weather is conducive to the formation of ozone, then they'll encourage people to take public transportation and avoid using small motors like lawnmowers and things like that. Some states like California that have big problems do things like limit driving on certain days. If your license plate is even or odd, you can drive on certain days. Another thing is the emissions inspection program, which we have in Wisconsin and is in place in most states. That's a state-level action designed to enforce the federal air quality standards.
You mentioned that some states suggest avoiding certain activities based on the weather because of ozone and air quality standards. What is the weather's impact on ozone?
Okay, well, going back to the emissions first, the emissions are more or less constant. There's industrial processes, and then there's vehicular emissions, and those vary a little bit, you know, less vehicles on the weekend than during the day, I mean during the week and so on, but they're more or less constant. What varies a lot is the weather. And for example, for ozone, you need sunlight. So during the summer months, there's more sunlight available because the elevation angle of the sun is higher. And also the chemical reactions that produce ozone are enhanced with higher temperatures. So hot, sunny weather is the best weather for ozone formation, or smog formation, if you will, even though I don't like that term that much. Other weather conditions that affect this are wind speeds. When wind speeds are light, then there's less diffusion, dispersion, mixing. So concentrations tend to just grow stronger and stronger. Lack of rainfall is conducive to ozone and nitrogen oxides building up because rain tends to wash some of the pollution out of the atmosphere.
By exempting parts of the Milwaukee area and Racine from these more stringent federal regulations, what does that mean for our air quality?
It means air quality for people living downwind is going to take a turn for the worse. It's a bad idea for the atmospheric environment to exempt certain areas because you know that the areas that are exempted are areas that are going to pollute, that wouldn't be able to meet the standards otherwise. And it's not only a bad idea for the local area. In Wisconsin, we have this interesting weather phenomenon by which pollutants emitted from the Chicago-Milwaukee corridor. They often during the summer when you have winds from the south, they make their way northward and then the lake breeze, land breeze comes into play and often these pollutants during the day, during their northward march during the day, are pushed towards the lake at night. And as they move northward at night over the lake, there's less atmospheric mixing over the lake than there is over the ground. So when the lake breeze kicks in the next day, maybe 50, 100 miles farther to the north, the pollutants come back on shore in a concentrated way. And for this reason, rural areas like Door County, for example, often have ozone exceedances even though they don't have the industry to account for those emissions. They come from much farther south. So the exemptions in Racine and Kenosha County could have an effect several counties to the north as well.
Well, and that seemed to be part of the rationale for why then-Governor Walker was questioning the EPA regulations that were going to be implemented in Racine and Milwaukee. He really said, well, this isn't an issue with areas of Racine and Milwaukee polluting, but rather an issue of Chicago polluting. So we shouldn't be held to those standards.
It is true that pollutants move with the wind. And it's also true that some types of pollutants, we call them secondary pollutants, ozone is one of those, they are not emitted directly into the atmosphere, but rather they're formed chemically and in some cases with the help of sunlight from interactions of the primary pollutants. So it is true that Chicago area emissions often move northwards and can affect the Wisconsin counties. However, Racine and Kenosha also have their own emissions, which are the ones that are likely to increase with the relaxation of the standards.
Yeah. What are the kinds of health problems that ozone causes?
Ozone irritates the respiratory system. So that combined with nitrogen oxides, we call that NOx, N-O-X. When ozone is high, NOx tends to be high also. So they act in concert and they tend to irritate your eyes. That's more annoying than anything else. But people who are members of sensitive groups like the elderly and babies and people with respiratory issues already, emphysema, asthma, et cetera, they are going to notice and they're going to have problems with ozone, particularly populations that spend a lot of time outside like, DOT workers, for example. If you're outside, physical exertion and breathing in those high concentrations, that's when you have a risk of having a problem.
Is there anything that you can personally do to avoid ozone?
Well, it's a regional air pollutant. I mean, when it's high, it tends to be high in an area that might be a couple hundred miles, on a side. So you can't really avoid it. But if you're a member of a sensitive group, what you want to do is stay inside as much as possible and limit physical activity. But if you can't do those things, then the best thing to do is to take public transportation to at least, do your part to limit emissions that make it worse.
Yeah. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
You're welcome.
Jonathan Call is a professor of atmospheric science at UWM, and he spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.